don't be over anxious, Scotto.
About what?
About just having gotten back from what last weekend was the absolutely incredible CPRI conference,
yeah,
right?
It feels like we haven't broadcasted in like forever.
Yet we broadcasted all, well, we taped all weekend.
Yeah, we were working the board all weekend, it seemed like. It was a lot of work, but we sure have it all captured. Though.
Yes, we do.
We have it all captured.
There's already people, when's that coming up?
Well, yeah.
When's that going to be up on the website?
But Dr. Stephen Rourke emailed me about
yes.
it. I don't know if he's listening or not, but I will reply to that. I saw it this morning. I had to run out. Yeah, we have everything captured. It was an amazing, amazing time.
Yes, we are fresh in, last weekend, we were fresh in from the CPRI conference in, absolutely hospitable, right?
Hospitable okay,
and
right.
friendly and, incredible Richmond, Virginia. The CPRI folks are top notch.
Yeah, real classic.
The guests, everybody was just phenomenal. It was absolutely fantastic. We'll talk about that. I have a couple other things I want to talk about. A couple of things are of course ghost hunting related because
okay.
that's what we do.
Yeah.
And then a couple of things are a little personal, so it's pretty cool. First though,
mm-hmm.
I want to remind everybody just who we are and where we're from, et cetera, et cetera. This is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
You weren't on.
Yeah, your mic's
on mic. Try that again.
I'm Will.
Sounds good to me. That's Will.
I'm Will. Hello.
That's in the mic.
Okay.
There you go. but you know what? Nothing.
That's
can
what
go
happens
wrong.
When you uproot all your equipment and move it like across like three or four states and then bring
yep.
it back like within a weekend.
Yeah, but so, but it can't upset me this. It
all
can't
right.
upset me this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having way too good of a time, and let me explain why. Because we are broadcast live from the haunted Warren Winery
yeah.
in Warren, Michigan,
mm-hmm.
and we are broadcast on, of course, the magnificent, absolutely phenomenal Pioneer Radio at pioneer.rollo.net.
OmniSound Radio 1.
We're also broadcast on Radio New York International.
KWTF The Edge is another great group that, some reason wants to rebroadcast this.
The Metal Show.
Classic
Metal Show.
Because it's cool.
Riff Raff Radio, of course.
And it had to work out this week for me again. The Butt. Broadcasting group.
The Butt Broadcasting Group. Uh-huh. Of course, The Point, 99.1 FM.
Robin Valley Community. Do you do that one?
Robin, one of my favorites,
yeah.
Robin Valley Community Radio.
All right, do the next one.
And, of course, the delicious and delectable Catnip Radio.
Slackin' Radio, real cool bunch of guys out there. Thank you.
Bazoo, Homegrown Radio.
Radio Enigma.
And Jet City Radio.
New affiliate.
New affiliate.
And there's a couple more in the works. This list is going to start getting too long. We're not going to be able to read it all in the air anymore.
I know. We'll have to just,
do a pre-recorded thing and just add stuff to it at the end of it, I guess.
I'm so excited about that, though,
yeah.
because you know what that means? That means people are listening. People are hopefully learning.
People are hopefully enjoying it.
And getting excited about ghost hunting and about paranormal stuff with us.
Absolutely.
We're also broadcast live from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening to this, we're a rebroadcast.
Yeah, some of these people on this list, they broadcast us live or they rebroadcast us. Unfortunately, I can't keep track of it all.
Right.
They change every once in a while, too. So,
right.
Who knows?
So if it's Sunday night from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. and you're listening to this, then it's probably, for better or for worse, it is live. And nothing can go wrong this week.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I'm excited.
Mm.
I am very excited. I'm very, very, very excited. When we got home from the amazing CPRI conference,
mm-hmm.
I checked the Ghostly Talk board, right?
Mm-hmm.
The forums at ghostlytalk.com.
Yeah.
excuse me, that hurt. I checked that, and there was a post from Elmo.
Yeah.
Who is, of course, the affiliate in Houston, Texas.
Yeah, one of our field reporters.
Field reporters. And he has, do you remember he came out and he talked about that they were going to, the battleship, I don't know, some battleship.
Oh,
and
I always forget.
They were going
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, they were going to go and do an investigation on a battleship. Well,
yeah.
he's set up something else now.
Uh-huh.
He set up an overnighter on the tall ship Elissa.
Okay.
And it's to be June 16th, which is a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Tough day for people, but it's a Friday. I believe it's going to be after working hours and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
mm-hmm.
it's going to and then of course it'll run all night into the wee early morning hours of Saturday.
That is a hard night.
And but you know what? It's on a tall ship, a 180-year-old tall ship.
Wow.
The tall ship is, of course, you remember here in the Detroit area, we had a tall ship show or whatever for last year, and it's something that I didn't get to, and I've always been fascinated about maritime ghost legends and stories, and because being from the Great Lakes region, and but this of course isn't a freshwater sailing vessel I doubt. It's more like an ocean going vessel, and the tall ship Alyssa to be able to for are you ready for this?
Yeah.
$40 is the donation.
Yeah.
To $40 to stay on the tall ship Alyssa, a 180-year-old ship.
Is it dry docked right now or is it actually in the water? I mean,
well, I think it's just in dock right now.
So it's probably well.
I don't know if it's dry dock or if it's just docked, but it's definitely not not sailing at the moment. They take it out twice a year, I think he said.
Okay. So it's still an operating vessel then.
It's an operating vessel. Okay. They take it out twice a year to give it some exercise or whatever they do to these things.
Yeah.
But it's a 180-year-old ship. Can you imagine the history? Can you imagine what that ship has
I don't imagine actually sailing on it myself, because if it's 180 years old, I mean, I don't care how well it's built. I think I might – that's just my personal preference.
Yeah.
180-year-old ship, I might just – yeah, look how wonderful it looks from here on the dry land. I think this is a beautiful ship, and I'll admire it from the dock itself. I mean, it's still going out. That being that old and it's still going out, that's a fascinating fact in itself.
Well, what the donations go for is its maintenance.
Okay.
That's about all they can afford with $40 per person, is maintenance. And because obviously being a tall ship, it doesn't take fuel. Fuel is the wind.
The wind, yeah.
But the maintenance on the vessel is what you're pitching in for. But look at what you get.
Mm-hmm.
You get to spend the night on a tall ship that's been operating, for
the better part of 200 years.
Yeah. That's insane. And the history and what that ship has gone through has got to be amazing. I was just reading. Actually, I was watching the, you remember at the CTRI conference, there was those videos for sale, the DVD. Who was it who was selling them right across from where Bonnie was? It was Red, White, Blue. Who was
The red, white. Okay, that was John's thing. I remember now.
John's friend.
Teddy
was selling these DVDs, and I bought one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only $25, and I'm like, I have to get one.
Mm-hmm.
So I got one, and one of the stories on there is about, was it Blackbeard?
Yeah.
It was a pirate.
It was Blackbeard.
And I think it was Blackbeard. Yes, it was.
It was Blackbeard. I was reading the back of that thing on the way home.
Yeah, and so I watched that, and I'm like, because that was a couple hundred years ago is when, the pirating and stuff was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we were still colonies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was before 1776. Well, this ship had to have been built in, it was built, I think he said, in 1780.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a long time ago.
Still a while ago.
But it, so just after we became
a nation.
A nation, yeah. And so it was, but that was still the time frame, right? That was the time frame of the Alyssa. And just to think back that long into history, whether it's haunted or not, because they don't know if it's haunted. They have no clue.
Well, that's what we keep preaching.
They have absolutely no clue.
Well, yeah, we keep preaching that on here, too. A lot of these places you get to go to, if you're into this sort of thing, to investigate hauntings and what we refer to as the public haunt, some of these places you go to are just fascinating in their own right. Just to walk around these places and just think back of how old they are, first of all.
Right.
And to imagine that these things were in existence about 15 generations back from when we were even... you were even a microcosm of anything.
Right.
That idea is fascinating in itself.
Well, just so you know, I blocked it off in my calendars.
Okay.
At work. I have two calendars that people can schedule meetings with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I blocked off that day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm really, really trying to work it out.
Considering going down.
I am considering going.
Cool.
It is that interesting to me. Again, it's June 16th. I just think it's phenomenal. It's a Friday. It's June 16th. It's $40. That would cost me significantly more than $40 because I would have to get a plane ticket to Houston from Detroit.
It's going to cost you several $40, I think.
Well, $272 for the plane.
Oh, God.
And, I wouldn't need a place to stay because $40 gets me on that ship.
Yeah.
So, $300 some odd dollars. And I'm really thinking about it.
It sounds like a really good time.
I am seriously thinking about it.
Sounds like a really good time.
And plus, I'd get to meet Elmo and his ghost hunting meetup group.
Cool. Well, so, Elmo, you might be having a visitor next month.
A visitor?
I'm just...
Who?
How'd I say it? Visitor? I said visitor. I'm from Michigan. Is that part of the mysterious Michigan accent, Amber?
No, a visitor is correct.
Visitor. Well, you said visitor.
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize
worse than she
that.
Is, man.
How
correcting
scary
my...
that is. It sounds spookier as visitor.
I am a visitor.
I am a visitor.
And you say it with a French accent, too. I am a visitor.
Just like the cows in Ohio. Yeah.
That's very cool. That's very cool.
I'm really thinking about it. I've also and the other ghostly related thing is I the Barton Mansion video.
Yeah.
Which Will has and he got it and I happen to possess it at the moment and I forgot it. Sorry, Will.
That's fine.
Oh, good. evidently the mansion has since that video was shot or created. Or whatever.
Yeah.
The mansion is now evidently an office space of some kind. There's offices and things in there. That's what I understand.
Yeah.
Richard Klontsch of ghost2ghost.org went there.
Oh, did he?
And so I'm looking forward to hearing about the finding out what it's like now.
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I know there's a lot of folks who are interested in the Barton Mansion video. I know somebody had... There was a thread on ghostlytalk.com's forum about it. So while we're... Oh, and Elmo, because I talked to him just on the way here to the to the Haunted Warren Winery, they were out and about last night.
Really?
They were out and about last night ghost hunting up at the... I forget what they called it. he has pictures of the area anyway on our website.
Okay.
And so they were up there doing ghost hunting last night. So we've got people investigating all these incredible places.
Mm-hmm.
There's plans to go on the tall ship Alyssa next month. There's all these things are going on. This has got to be shaping up to be one of the most awesome years in paranormal investigations.
Well, I mean, it's all coming together. There's a lot more people out there doing this sort of thing. And with more people coming in, there's more resources, there's more connections, so to say, so more people can get to certain areas.
Exactly.
And that's what's really important. And that's what makes it a lot more fun to go to these cool places like that, especially like these tall ships and whatnot. I'd love to spend the night on a tall ship.
it's mind-boggling.
Absolutely.
Because you don't get that kind of opportunity every other day. It's obviously a special event. So
$40 is a small price too. There's some places you'll pay double that, sometimes triple that to spend the night. So $40 is really a very, very small fee.
I think it's less expensive than a hotel.
It's cheaper than way cheaper than a hotel. Sure, it doesn't have the accommodations a hotel has.
Well, right, like bathrooms and stuff.
Are you there to relax or are you there to get something done? I mean, right. I'd be there to try to get something done myself.
Right, good question.
Absolutely.
So there's all of that going on. I'm very excited about that. The CPRI conference was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I hope we'll talk about that shortly. But there is one other thing that I learned today that I absolutely must share.
Okay.
I am, come December, I am going to be an uncle thrice.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes.
Pete, huh?
Yep.
Oh, holy crap. Congratulations.
My brother Pete and his wife are expecting.
Oh, congratulations.
They're expecting in December.
Wow.
So in December.
It just seems like yesterday we were at their wedding.
It sure does.
That was only like 2 summers ago.
Right.
Yeah, it was 2 summers ago. It was 2004. They got married. I forgot what month it was.
So it's and that has made me among the happiest people on the planet this evening.
Oh, I'm very happy to hear that. Congratulations, Pete.
Because there's all these magnificent, paranormal things going on. We just came back from a fantastic conference. I'm looking forward to. I'm trying to get out to the Alyssa next month.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother, they surprised me with it. They said, "Oh, we have a gift for you," and they handed me this bag, and I opened it up, and it's a teething thing. it's like this musical teething toy, and I'm like, maybe there's some significance in the music. I don't know why they're giving this to me. And as soon as I thought, I don't know why they're giving this to me, and I'm trying to concentrate on the music to see if it was like a song that I might remember, because that's where my mind was going. Maybe there's some significance in the musical bit of this teething ring.
Yeah.
And as soon as I thought, why are they giving this to me? That's when it hit me, and I was absolutely overcome with happiness and joy.
Well, that's totally awesome. You just found this stuff out today, too.
Yeah.
Wow, man. That's so heavy.
It was incredible. So I will be, you know, three times the uncle come December. So I'm very, very happy and giddy today.
That's very cool. Glad to hear that. Congratulations to both of them. That's really cool. What else can you say? Like, all right, man. You know, awesome. It's
well,
really awesome.
In my life, there's a few things that I really honestly think, you know, shape your life. Having the idea for Ghostly Talk and somehow talking you into doing it with me is obviously one of them,
yeah,
right?
Oh yeah.
Graduating from college.
Mm-hmm.
I don't count graduating from high school because, you know, pretty much everyone has to now in order to get a job.
Some of the high school graduates out there.
And then the worse the economy gets, the worse off everybody is, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. So the high school thing I think is almost required, but
College is an optional thing. You don't have to.
So that was a lot of work, 4 years of work,
mm-hmm.
and I'm proud of that.
Yeah, same here.
Of course, I'm extremely giddy about Ghostly Talk and everything that we do here,
mm-hmm.
but that's hobby related, right?
Yeah.
Family related, it's got to be, you know, my two nieces,
mm-hmm.
and this upcoming December.
Oh, yeah.
Are the things that really mean something to me. They're truly and deeply meaningful, and I have something, you know, to look forward to, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Well, congratulations, Doug, on becoming
I didn't do anything but celebrate the joy of this. But by
coming on the show tonight and making it a point, because you walked up to me when you were coming to the door, and you're like, I have some things I want to talk about. I might take up the whole half an hour, deal with it, or I'll fire you. I'm like, okay, no problem at all. No problem at all. You can do whatever you want there. It's totally cool. But just by coming on the show and talking about that, making a point that you want to talk about that shows how much you care about it.
It
is a life-shaping thing, even for you. Even for you.
You may
not have done all the work, but...
I didn't do any of the work. Didn't have any of the fun or whatever.
But you will be doing the work, though.
You will be part of that child's life. And it'll be among the most important of work that I do.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. To help my niece or nephew, whatever mm-hmm. it will be, you know, grow up and hopefully be stable and happy and maybe become a ghost hunter. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll find out.
Who knows? It's a clean slate when they're born.
Exactly.
And that's the scariest part. And it's the reason I stay away from parenthood as far as I can, because I'm not going to be responsible for destroying some child's life. They didn't do anything wrong to start out with. I'm not going to be responsible for that. I can't deal with that.
Well, according to modern society, you can't give it toys. You can't let it watch TV. You can't let it play video games.
Yeah.
You pretty much have to lock it in a box until
it's 18. You can't discipline them, which is half the fun.
Yeah, you can't discipline it. You can't do anything with your kids anymore other than... Whatever's left.
Talk to them.
Read.
You
the
need
three
to
little
talk
bears.
To them, Doug. You need to talk to them.
I know, but
and share your feelings.
The more I hear about parenting on the news radio, the less
attractive it seems to me.
The less you get to do with your kids. They were just talking on the radio this past week about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said, what was it they were talking about? You couldn't. It was TV related. I don't remember, but it was, you know, watching TV related. And, oh, somebody's coming, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was proposing an all toddler channel or something like that.
What?
All toddler programming all the time.
Oh, man, that would be the funnest thing to come home to after a night at the bar, I tell you. Just think about that. That'd be great for the adults, too, man. That's worse than the Teletubbies trying, like, if you're half in the bag and you're trying to, oh. I'm all for it. I'm all for it because I want to see some. Where do I sign? I'm there.
Instantly, of course, the experts came out and said, well, we don't recommend children watch TV at all until they're 8, you know, 42 years old. and then they come out and say, well, you know what they'll be doing? They'll be brainwashing the children.
No.
Buy Verizon stuff. Buy coffee. You know.
Right, he is a 2-year-old with a freeze.
Right, with a cappuccino, frappuccino, mocha latte.
Yeah.
In it.
No, thank you.
Mom, I want mocha latte in my bottle.
No.
I mean, what?
No.
You know, all
that is an interesting point, though. It's an interesting point, though. I mean, that, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not.
Well, that's
going,
not what they said.
I'm not
going to
start spinning some web of conspiracy on that, but it's an interesting point. That's all I'll say about that. I mean, it does make you think a little bit. That's very cool. Congratulations again. Totally awesome, Doug. Totally awesome. I'm so happy to hear that, man. I'm really happy for Pete too. They're really great together, and I think they'll be great parents.
I know they will be.
Yeah, those two are really great together. I know I've met both. I mean, met your brother. He's always been a level-headed guy, so I think it'll be totally awesome to see how those two fare at the parenting thing now.
It'll be interesting. Because my brother is so organized, and that never happens when you have a kid.
No. The reason I'm staying away from him, the OCD.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Awesome. One thing we do here on the show, if I may, Doug.
Of course.
One thing we do here on the show, well, one thing that's part of the website, the Ghostly Talk website, even from the old transition to the new transition, is we've always had this thing called news articles, right? I remember when we first launched out the original Post Nuke site, it was something you were excited about. You're like, you know, hey, people can put up news articles on the site, and I'm like, oh, okay, great. I thought they came here just to download free audio, but hey, that's totally cool. If people want to put up news articles, that's totally awesome. So, you know, every once in a while I'd find something that really just grabbed me, and I would put it up on there. So it would have to be something that just really, you know, oh, that's something I really I couldn't stop reading it.
And I did too.
Yeah. It was something that, you know, it had a life of its own. It just did its own thing. People would post there every once in a while. Well, our buddy Elmer, when he started doing, you know, he started hanging out and talking to us a lot more. He listened to the show and stuff like that. He's like, you know, he loves to read, obviously. He just
right.
likes to read articles and, you know, keep his brain working and whatnot. And he suggested, or something happened, I don't know, he started posting a lot of news articles up all at one time. He'd do it like once a week, and he put up tons of articles for people to read. And it became this regular thing. So we're like, hey, man, you know what? Why don't we just give you an email address? You know, for the site, and then you can, you know, you can work within us what we're doing here, and you can be the news guy. So he was more than happy to do that, and he's been doing it ever since. It's been 3 years now or something like that. And it's been a great ride. He's been doing it. He's done a phenomenal job since day one. We love the work he does. But we were having a discussion this week, and he made a suggestion. He's like, well, I really want to know what people want to read. I just don't want to throw like random articles up there, and you know. Make it, you know, people don't want to read them. He's like, you know, he's like, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to base it on maybe what I'm interested in. And he has an interest like I do. He's interested in everything few and far between. He's like, but I really would like to know what people want to read, what is interesting to them, what they want to feed their brains with. And he's like, you know, I'd like to get more feedback from people possibly. How could we go about doing this? And I'm like, well, very simple. We can just use the show. That's what we have the show for, right? So what I'm proposing to people, what I'd like people to do is if take about 2 minutes out of your busy day. I know, you know, people are very busy and stuff like that. And if you have some ideas about what type of articles you'd like to see on the Ghostly Talk website.
Or if you're surfing and you find a link to an interesting article.
That too. Yeah, that too. We want you to email Elmer, our news guy, just to give him some ideas of what he should be putting up there. He doesn't want to be spinning his wheels, and I totally understand that. He'd like to find out what exactly you guys, as the listeners and viewers or whatever of our site and our radio show, would like to read. I think that's a great idea. I thought it was an awesome idea to talk about this a little bit, and I think it's an important idea because it helps people learn.
It helps people also. You can go to the website and get, you know, you're helping build that website. You're
Absolutely.
Helping maintain its flow and ebb and tide and everything.
And that's what our whole site, the software, everything has been tailored around too. It's a completely contributor-based setup.
Right.
That's what it's always been. So we found it, and that's how we want to keep it too. We think it's the most fun that way.
That's what I was hoping with the Post Nuke site.
Mm-hmm.
And when that ran into limitations and stuff, I'm like, well, let's try the Drupal.
We had to
expand. Software,
yeah.
And it seems to be pretty flexible.
Oh, I love it. I've been charmed since the day we launched that new site. But email Elmer, which is his email address that you can get him at, is Havoc, which I'll spell it, HAVOCGT News. So HavocGTNews@gmail.com. HavocGTNews@gmail.com. Just give him, he just wants some ideas of what he should be putting up on our website. It's very important to him. It's very important to us, too. So just take a couple seconds and do that. We'd really, really appreciate it. And we will be talking about this again.
Okay.
We're going to keep reminding you and stuff like that.
Excellent.
Anything else we got going on here today? Any ideas? Anybody?
I'm ready to party.
Oh, okay. Let's get out the cake.
Champagne and cake.
Oh, yeah. All that fun stuff.
Well, I do want to mention, because I know we've got very, very, way too few minutes left.
Just a few minutes.
The CPRI conference.
Mm-hmm.
Evidently, there was a better way to get there and back without having to go through the populated and heavily congested D.C. Beltway.
Actually, I was referring to it as the ninth ring of hell.
Oh, yes. That's also what it is.
I'm not going to be nice about it. I don't know how the hell you people live in that city. And I think you should leave now and go somewhere that's less densely populated. I don't know what the hell is going on
there. I say keep them all there and keep them out of...
What's the world of work shift? We have jobs there. We got to go there and work. Oh, God, get out of that place. Because, that was...
Okay, 3 hours. 3 hours.
A
full show. To go 13 miles on the Beltway.
I'm not understanding past like half an hour on the freeway. I'm not. I have no patience.
And here I thought M59 Hall Road was bad.
Oh,
I see. Michigan.
I'm blowing the horn left and right after 10 minutes out here. And 3 hours, we were all beside ourselves by the time we got to that hotel on Friday night.
We called them up. We said, we'll be there at 4:30 because we're an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
We arrived at 8.
Everybody arrived late.
Everybody was late.
I mean, not that I'm happy about that, but at least we're like, okay, thank God we're not the only ones.
Right.
And it was obviously a problem.
We weren't the latest
people either. We weren't the latest.
Right.
We'll leave the names out of that.
Well, the latest was like 2 in the morning. I felt so bad for her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But she also did come a very long way. Mm-hmm. But, man.
How did we?
Meeting Jason and Grant.
Very cool.
Of TAPS.
John Zaffis.
And John Zaffis and Nathan Unpronounceable.
Yeah.
Just
his assistant Nathan.
Did you see his last name?
Yeah.
It's like that long.
My wallet's in my room. I don't have it on me. I blew it off.
But these people are so incredibly in tune with the paranormal, like, happenings and things like that.
Yeah.
And they absolutely loved talking to the conference attendees, which was absolutely floors me. I mean, we were all hanging out in the lobby for how long? I mean, hours upon hours upon hours. I don't know if Grant even went to bed. I mean, he stuck out.
He was up late. I know he was up late with a Saturday night.
He was up very late Saturday night. And he's just hanging out in the lobby and everybody talking to him. And they talked to everybody who was there.
Oh, yeah.
And including us for some reason. And I had a blast. I had a blast talking to Rick Wood.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on the OmniSound Radio 1.
Mm-hmm.
And of Audio Martini.
Yeah.
The show on OmniSound, Audio Martini.
A lot of wonderful people.
It was phenomenal.
Well, I discussed it really, really fast. I talked to a few people about it at the conference. And we might, if willing, we all have our schedules worked out. We might actually want to do another bonus show. And just
I would love that.
I know we could. It would be 2 hours in itself to discuss the thing. And I really would like to do something where we could get it all off our chest and discuss what happened because it was a great time. You know what I'm saying? I know 5 minutes isn't going to do any justice to that. And I think in typical fashion, we should definitely talk about doing maybe a bonus show or something like that.
I like that idea.
For sure. Well, why don't we take a quick break, though? Next half an hour, we have Cindy Kuczynski coming on, who's going to be talking about the spirits that she sees. It's about her book that she just has released. A lot of interesting things we're going to discuss about with her in the next half an hour.
And then stay tuned right after that for Mark Amaru Pinkham of GnosticTemplars.org, talking, of course, about the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hour after that, Jerry E. Smith,
a fantastic writer.
Harp. And of course...
another cornucopia.
And, of course, he's also got... Doesn't he also have the book out about the Spear of Destiny?
I believe so, yeah.
So it'll be very interesting. Harp and the Spear of Destiny.
Oh, yeah. Why don't we take a quick break here. A very busy show. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.
Rhine Feather from the Rhine Research Center, and our website is www.rhine.org. And I hope that I'll hear from some of the listeners with some stories. And you are now listening to Ghostly Talk.
I'm Michael Cremo, author of Forbidden Archaeology. My website is mcremo.com, M-C-R-E-M-O.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Of www.touchofsalem.com is the author of The Spirits I See, The Discovery of a Medium. This book was written to help those who see, hear, or feel spirits. If you know someone who has these experiences often, this may be a great book to help open up their senses to a wonderful world of self-discovery.
The Spirits I See, The Discovery of a Medium takes you inside the author, whom from the age of 5 has had these experiences.
You blew that.
How did I blow it?
Inside the life of the author.
What did I do? What did I say?
You said inside the author.
Oh, sorry, Cindy.
Cindy.
I guess we typically will start that out right. You know?
This is going to be a marvelously intimate half hour with Cindy Kuczynski.
Sorry about that.
Wow.
Freudian slip of all Freudian slips right there. I apologize. Jeez.
Cindy.
My mic goes off.
Cindy, if you're not hanging up right now as we speak, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you.
See, we treat you right here, too,
yes,
obviously. We treat you very, very well here. Cindy, you wrote this really cool book, obviously. Now, we kind of gave people like a high level, obviously, with this couple of blurbs we always like to read about people and stuff like that, but there's probably a lot that's going on here, and it's obvious you've been working with this kind of stuff since a very early age. I mean, the age of 5, for example, was there one, we always like to ask people this, was there like one situation, one occurrence, one experience you had that kind of triggered all this and kind of put you where you're at right now?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
I remember back as far as 5, and that's because it used to be like every night when I would go to bed, I would always have this lady that would be standing at the end of my bed.
Uh-huh.
So that kind of, you know, I didn't really know what was going on at that time, of course, you know, but...
Do you know what, Cindy, there's a little bit of interference.
Yeah, we're getting static now, Cindy.
That.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's very bizarre.
It sounds like radio static now. Like,
well,
radio,
that's
okay. Static.
I don't understand it.
It was fine from it a minute ago.
It was fine the entire time until now. I wonder if that's someone trying to come through.
That's every interview I get. I even got a new phone. Yeah, see? I'm in a different room. There's nothing running, so...
Weird.
Well, we have.
We're not alone, I guess.
We have plenty of people who will download this and analyze that and see what's in there. So, who do you see? Do you see people all the time? Have you been out ghost hunting with people, or do you not have to do that?
No, I don't really have to do that. But I am going to be going to one of the prisons in Ohio.
Oh, awesome.
Mansfield.
Oh,
prison.
Oh boy, and you struck a nerve here. We've been there like how many times now?
Oh, we're going on 4 or 5 or 6.
Something
in
like
that, range.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, we've been there a bunch of times, actually. We love talking
about it. I'm the co-author of the new book, The Spirits of Salem. We're going to be going up there. We were supposed to go the end of May, but I think we're going to shoot like the second week in June.
Oh, okay. It's a very, you've never been there before?
Nope.
We can go on for days about it, I think.
We've gone on for hours on end about the prison there. It's absolutely amazing. I do hope that you enjoy the experience.
I wanted to see if I could pick anything up.
I think you maybe there's been a few weird things that have happened there for us, I think. You know, I mean, we really can't explain them. There's just a few anomalous occurrences. From as much time as we spent at the place, I mean, you're bound to catch something.
Do you want to know the places that I'm interested in, or do you want to just go there and see?
Do tell me.
Do tell you?
Go ahead. Yes.
One of the places that I'm interested in, and I think only somebody uniquely qualified like you, Cindy, could tell me more information than they already know, is... There's the lake just in front, outside, what, to the west, in front, to the west of the prison. There's this
yeah,
little pond
right.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You call it the evil duck pond, because if you go near it, the ducks try to kill you.
The ducks are pretty on the
They're
evil
mean.
Side,
they
yeah.
carry knives and stuff, and they have, like, baseball caps.
And they throw really... gang signs with their
yeah,
flippers.
Yeah, they're crazy.
And they are pretty interesting. But
yeah.
But there's legends about the duck pond, and I'd be interested to know what you find there. There's also a legend of, you know, the actual road that it's on, which is Reformatory Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be interested to know what you find there. And then, of course, our favorite place within the prison is solitary confinement. So those are the three things if you could think of while you're there. And, of course, there's a lot more legends. There's, you know,
oh, there's so much stuff that's happened there.
The wife of the one...
Of the warden.
Of the
wife
warden.
Of the warden, yeah.
And things like that. There's so many other legends as well. But those are the three... that really get to me, and we don't get to spend as much time. Well, obviously, when you're actually there for the night, you can't concentrate on the road, but you can be milling around the duck pond as long as there's no ducks nearby.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if you go out on, like, a little break or something, and just if you get a chance, wander over there and see what you get, because I'd be really interested to hear what your impressions are of the area around the duck pond, and then of course inside our favorite and creepiest places is solitary.
Oh yeah.
All right, I will check those places out.
And report back to us immediately.
I sure will. Yeah, we're going to take a. We're trying to stay, keep it low key because we don't want, you know, I don't want everybody following around watching me, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Just trying to. Just placing like we're nobody.
Well, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah. That's the one thing. I mean, it will be referred to as a public haunt, and
yeah.
you'll have a few people that are milling about doing their thing and doing their own research and stuff like that. And sometimes, unfortunately, it may be kind of hard to find some privacy to like really try to tune in if you do sense something. Speaking of sensing something, though, I'm just, you know, what I like to ask people that are sensitive like this, what happens physically? What can you perceive when something, like, you know, when you are in the presence of something, you may think you're in the presence of something. What does it feel like for you?
It's kind of like I seem to be on a plane where nobody else is, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm walking, and it feels like I'm walking a little bit slower, or everybody else seems to be a blur.
Okay.
You know, it's like I get... of course, you get your chills and everything, but usually I can hear stuff going on within my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can either vision of something that they want to show me, or actually hear talking, you know, if they want to tell me something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I've even gone as far as drove by a house and I didn't know it had a history, and I could see somebody hanging.
Oh, my God.
And not only did I see him hanging, I mean, I actually was hearing him read his suicide note. Apparently, nobody had found it. So that was...
So this was something from the past that you picked up on, am I correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do get, like, I mean, a lot of times I'll see or get visitors that are from children that they can't seem to locate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I try not to watch the news too much because of that, because it's, you know, they'll just keep me up for days.
Oh, yeah.
So, but I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Does it seem like they're projecting to specifically you, or projecting out to anybody, or is it just something that's built into the cosmos or whatever that you are picking up on? Is it them projecting or built in?
I don't know if somebody else with the same capability is seeing it at the same time, and that's very possible. I never even thought of that, you know. But usually it's like at night they scare me because to roll over and see somebody standing by your bed, that's just, you know, still after all these years, that's enough to make you scream because, you know, it's hard to tell if that person is a vision or if it's somebody real, you know.
Well, you want to feel safe also. That's supposed to be the one safe haven you have is, you know, your bed at night, you know, when you're sleeping, that you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, rolling over, like you said, and seeing something standing there.
Yeah, my daughter will come in my room. Mom, can you come get them out of my room? Oh, call the weirdo now, huh? Any other time, Mom, I don't want to hear your stories, you know? Mom, come get them out of my room.
Well, it's obviously something in your household, you know.
It's hereditary, actually. My mom was like that. My grandmother was like that. My brother, Chuck, he's in New Jersey. He's like that.
Mm-hmm.
My nephew, you know. Now, I have seven brothers and sisters, but there's only two of us that have the gift.
So mm-hmm.
The other ones just think we're totally nuts.
Well, it's obviously something, like you said, it's in your household, too. Your daughter acknowledges this also.
Yeah, my daughter, I think she has the gift. She turns it, you know, turns it off, but she is sensitive. And I have a daughter in the military also. She's 23, and she has her experiences, too, so, you know.
My goodness. That would be very weird. I mean, not weird in a bad way, but to have that many like close, direct family members that all experience these things.
Yeah.
It sounds like you guys have an open channel of communication with that, though, too.
Yeah, and that helps because you can grow. You know, they can, if they choose to use it, you know, they can grow by being able to talk about what they experience and what they're seeing, and they try to explain to them. You know, I just tell my daughter, it's like, don't worry, they ain't going to stay long.
Well, a lot of households, we know for a fact, all of us know that. There are a lot of households. I've told the story 1,000 times of, you know, the child that's having the nightmares, or they do think the boogeyman's under their bed or something like that, and the parent comes in and says, look, there's no such thing as ghosts or anything like that. There's nothing to be afraid of. You're in your home. And while it's a great piece of parenting, I mean,
yeah.
I will always say, hey, you're being a good parent. You're trying to comfort your child. That may develop, that might build these filters in their minds as they grow up where they do cut these things out, and that may
exactly.
cut off
That's
their abilities.
That's what happens. Yeah, they turn off the gift, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been getting an email from a grandmother who her granddaughter wakes up screaming at night.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she'll say that there's somebody standing there.
Mm-hmm.
And the grandmother's a big believer, and we've been working trying to calm, you know, where to get the little girl some sleep, trying a few things, but she does not want to shut the gift off. So she's able to use it when she gets older, which is unusual. Most people, you know, want to shut it down and say nonsense.
Well, and there are a lot of people that do that. I mean, I don't know personally, and Doug, you tell me what you think too. If it's something you could live with, like at this point in your life. I mean, we both lived relatively long lives, and as you know, that's a different scenario. But you know, and it's, a good example is, you know, if you were blind your whole life, and then all of a sudden somebody just like says, okay, you have vision now. I mean, that's a lot of data to take in at one time.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's obviously a learned process where it seems as if you're raised on it and you grow with that. It's a, you know, you gradually work your way into it where it isn't so shocking. You see what
yeah.
I'm saying?
I don't know. I still see shocking.
Well,
you know, you just do. It's like, I walk in the house one night and it wasn't really, you know, I walked in with my husband, turned on the light and just looked over in my rocking chair in the corner, and I see this girl sitting there. I mean, she had long, I can still see her today, you know,
mm-hmm.
long curly hair, it was all wet, and she just had, was her head was hanging down, but as I come in, she slowly moved up and looked at me.
Mm-hmm.
Deep black eyes, I mean, she was not happy.
Uh-oh.
And she just, you know, I just stood there, my husband's like, what's wrong? And I said, well, there's a girl sitting in the chair, and he walked over there, he said, ice cold. Of course, you know, the vision disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But I still, you know, today think that this is the neighbor's daughter who they think committed suicide in the bathroom. That's why she was all wet.
Mm-hmm.
But ended up that she basically was murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was murdered by her so-called boyfriend at that time.
So she was an older, she wasn't a little girl, she was an older, well, not
she was
older.
About in her early teens,
okay.
20s, yeah. But
that's a sad story. Jeez.
It's weird because, you know, we're on the anniversary of her death actually tomorrow. So.
Oh, boy.
Be talking about her, I'll probably see her again. Tell my mom and dad.
Well, send me
no,
an email. Send us an email. Let us know if you see anything. You never know.
You know, you just can't go over and knock at your door. Your daughter told me to tell you.
Do you think if you had walked in the house and you had some of your family members, like, you know, a couple folks, like, you know, your daughter and maybe your mom or something, and you all walk in at the same time, would all of you have seen her, or I don't know, does it pick somebody to, you know, show? How does it work?
I don't know, because my brother's in New Jersey. Even when I go to stay at his house, he's like, don't talk about anything, because after you leave, I see nothing but stuff. I don't want to hear it. He goes, leave your friends at home. You know, and my mom lived with us a little bit. Actually, she died right here in our house in January.
Mm-hmm.
And having the gift when you get older scares me. Because, of course, you know, when she was coming around towards the end, she was saying how, you know, she sees somebody sitting in a chair and they're ready to give her drugs because she's delusional.
Well, yeah,
you know?
That point of your life.
Yeah. But, you know, they wanted to institute, you know, put her in an institution and everything, and it's like she's always seen things, you know. Just because she's old now, you know, don't drug her and put her in a home, you know.
Well, that's something that should be taken into account, obviously. Unfortunately, contemporary medicine isn't something that's going to take that into account. All they see is a person who's up in their years seeing things, and they go, okay, dementia. Yeah, that's
exactly.
a classic
and
dementia.
And that's what they said she had, you know, and that scares me, because if I wasn't there to tell the nursing home, if she says she sees somebody, trust me, there's somebody there.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, okay, you know. And so whenever I came to visit, they kind of all stayed away, you know. Yeah, but when she was in the hospital, she would actually try to escape, you know, go out. I'm not going back in that room. There's that the chair of death. There's some guy sitting there, and he's dead.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like, I said, just move the chair out. Humor her. Yeah.
And how do you help folks? Because your book's to help those who are like you and your family members. But because I know folks who are out there who see, hear or feel spirits, and of course then their life journey becomes a path of either trying to control it or harvest this gift or
block it out maybe too.
Block it out sometimes. And so there's folks with all their individual journeys, you know, but all beginning with this, you know, just seeing, hearing and feeling spirits. And how does your book help them?
Just letting them know that they're not alone. There is, mm-hmm. surprisingly enough, a lot of people that are like that. I'm not saying everybody, but there are there's quite a few. When I had my little store, I mean, people would come in from Pittsburgh just so they could talk to me about this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
my goodness.
It's just making you know that you're not alone, and try to come to sense with it or to terms with it before you get too old. It's my biggest thing now, because after seeing what they do to my mom, you know, she was only 69, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's like, you need to come to some. I mean, I myself, I'm like, I'm keeping a copy of my book in my suitcase when they take me to the home. I've been like this for a while.
Yeah,
now. Don't drag me too much unless I enjoy it. If it's happy pills, let's go.
Well, that's a very important. I never thought about another viewpoint on this sort of thing. Is just that there may be a lot of people who are up in their years, older in their years. I know my grandmother, for example, I heard a story about her when she was passing on that she was actually like had her arms up. This is just what was relayed to me because I wasn't there at the time. She actually had her arms up saying things, you know, to the effect of, okay, I'm ready to go. Let's do this thing. And she raised her arms. Obviously, somebody, you know, and that's what a lot of my family said. Well, you know, she was delusional. She was in, you know, 9 years of cancer, was eating away at her body. It was killing her. So she's going to see a lot of weird things, right? But it could have very easily been, hey, it could have been the real deal. It could have been what people refer to as a spirit connection of some sorts.
Yeah, you hear about that a lot near the end. You know, my dad passed when he was only 68 with cancer. And I sat in the room the last time I visited him at the hospital. He's sitting there saying, hey, look, Anita, that's my mom's name. Look who's here. Mom's like, shh, shh, shh. I said, no, Mom, let him talk, you know?
Yeah, let him talk.
Like, my mom's from that age where you're not supposed to, you know, she would like to talk about it a little bit, but still hush up, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's a taboo subject, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very interesting viewpoint. I've never thought about it that way, and there's probably a lot of people out there. Well, and like you say, Cindy, you're not alone.
No.
That's the important thing, and that's a very good focus, I think, for any book when it comes to this kind of stuff, is that you're not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are experiencing the same, if not similar, things as you are.
Yep, it's how far that they can understand it and take it, you know. I don't do professional readings or anything. If they come through and they want to show me something, tell me something, then I'll pass it on. But I won't sit down and charge $80 to do a reading. It's like, I don't use it for that. It's not what it's for.
Well, that's a very good thing, too, I think.
Interesting.
It's a very good thing.
Well, I don't think the, you know, mediums who do that are doing the wrong thing. It might
be not
what
at all. My best friend is
do.
Like that. You know, she has she's very gifted. She's just more comfortable in front of lots of people, you know. I used to actually hire her to come to my store to do it. That's just not me, you know. Everybody's going to take it to a different level, you know.
Right, it depends on what you're supposed to do with it in your life, and you wrote The Spirits I See. Is it a collection of stories or people's stories or the spirits' stories? How did you come across the idea to do this, and what's it like when I buy the book and read it?
It was actually spirit driven for me to do this. I was actually told to do it, and I would actually wake up, you know, like in the middle of the night and just go out and write and write and write, you know. And when I would sit in my store, I would write. Now I got a laptop, you know. So they don't have to wake me up anymore. I'll just write. But,
good idea.
And things would happen, and, you know, and I would learn from it, and it was just more things, you know, to put into the book. But it is a collection of visions that I've had that really stand out. And it's just the things that maybe would help trigger somebody else into learning, maybe understanding if they're going through the same thing. Because it's like surprising how people automatically want to take their kid to a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, don't get
me
started on
that. I'm not discouraging. Go for it if you want. But, I mean, they've got to stay open. There is possibly things that nobody can explain.
Well, yeah. It's the assumption level, I think, that people, they just assume a lot of things. They don't,
yeah.
And I think a lot of, you know, we talked about this very briefly the last half an hour about parenting and stuff like that. And, I mean, I made fun of the fact, and Doug, I know you mentioned about 50 things that parents don't seem to do anymore.
Right.
And the one thing they always seem to, well, we need to talk to our children. We need to talk to them and stuff like that. I think in this situation, that's a very good thing to do. Like, hey, let's talk to this kid. See what their viewpoint is on this.
Yeah.
What are they seeing?
Mm-hmm. Hear them describe somebody that you know.
You never know.
You know, hey, that sounds like Uncle Bob.
There you
right,
go. Exactly.
Right.
That's one of those situations where you should sit down with the child and go, hey, let's see what's going on. And the last thing you should do would be to, you know, drugs and stuff like that. But that's a touchy subject with our listener base too. I got nailed last time I said that, so I'm leaving it alone.
Well, the
everybody has to stay open because
there are times when that's called for and warranted, and you have to get on a prescription to make to make you be able to function without going crazy,
without being a danger to yourself or others too.
You have
number
to,
one.
But if you're if you're struggling with an issue like, oh, I see, you know, dead people. Well, then it's time to investigate.
Try to explore
that
this thing a little bit,
and see what you can do.
Yes, for some people that may fit comfortably, and for others alone that could push them over the edge. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's all our individual walks of life.
I got called in for an interview and called back 2 times for an interview for a part-time position I was just going to take. And all they wanted was readings. You know, it's just, well, we heard about your book. And it's like, don't waste my time.
Oh, man.
You know, I said, now, did they call me there to make fun of me? Or did, you know, I mean, I knew as soon as I came in, it's like, something's not right.
It sounds like they wanted to know what was, When he said,
do you see dead people? That's exactly what they said to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see them all the time.
Yeah, there's like 4 of them behind you.
Cindy, we need to thank you for coming
on
the show.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Your website is, of course, touchofsalem.com, and you're the author of The Spirits I See, The Discovery of a Medium.
Thank you
for coming on the show. Cindy, hang
Thanks,
on the line.
Guys. I'll let you know what I find at that prison for you.
Yeah, we're going to definitely talk about that. Hang on the line for 1 second, okay?
All right.
Don't leave us just yet.
Don't hang up yet.
Guys, we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about all types of stuff concerning the Knights Templar in the next hour with our guest Mark Amaro Pinkham, who will be back on. Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
I'm Will.
We'll be right back after this.